The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Dean Thomas victorious here in round two.
I'm slick as a motherfucker, ain't I?
Dean Thomas, ladies and gentlemen.
He's clapping down.
Oh, that's a fucking
attack.
Ozzie Smith gets the really choke finish.
The hard left hook broke my hand, so I can feel it clicking around.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Magny sensing the moment to finish.
Good one.
Repeated work by Neil Magny. And there it is.
The fight game constantly changes. The fight's not happening, so you guys are in there throwing punches.
Make some noise for Neil Magny.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. There's three of us today. I miss you too. That's what Dean said when we started. That's a lovely way to start today's show. We appreciate Dean coming on. I'm only here for a half hour today. I have a town hall that I'm hosting. Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne and Jack Osbourne. I'm hosting an event with them. For my radio company for Sirius, so I had to do that.
So wait, what are you doing with the Osbournes?
Interviewing them for a documentary. But I told the guys that look, I'm able to be here till 1:15 if we can start earlier, but today's guests are going to be a little bit later. So I appreciate Dean filling in.
Well, it's good to see Dean Thomas.
I love Dean Thomas.
You know, the last time I seen Dean Thomas, he was quarantined in a Holiday Inn in Vegas. Oh,
I was.
Man, Dean Thomas.
I know, man. You know, Michael Bisping got me, man. You know what I'm saying? First off, he told the whole world that I had coronavirus. I was trying to keep it a secret. He told the whole world I had coronavirus. Oh, and then he took my job on Looking for a Fight. So, like, I'm a little salty with him. We got beef.
Man. And how did they tell you? You take the test. You're ready to go to Abu Dhabi, right? Or is that where the Fight Island, right? You're ready to get on a plane.
Yeah.
And how do they tell you?
Dana called me because they told Dana first. And then he was like, hey, buddy, you tested positive. I was like, no. And then, man, I was so scared. I thought I was going to die.
How did you feel?
I felt all right until that night. And then that night, I don't know if it was like psychologically as soon as it happened. Then like that night, I started feeling like symptoms. And then like it was only for like 2 days. And then after that, I was good.
Okay. Yeah, but dude, you looked fine when I seen you.
I looked fine.
And I think with all the false positives out there, you should have got tested again.
I know.
Well, you might not even had it.
I know. Well, I got tested again, and then I didn't have it the next time I got tested. That was like a couple weeks ago, though.
Yeah, but you should have did it immediately after. They say, you know what? I don't know if this is a false positive. There was two false positives on the plane.
But the fact that like I had a headache that night, I was like, you know what? Maybe I do have it. And I just committed to it. And then I just said, you know what? I'm just going to deal with this.
Dude, but
you're supposed to go. So I'm sorry about it. You're supposed to go on the plane and go to Fight Island and have this great weekend. And then you're stuck in a Holiday Inn. It's not even like you were stuck in Caesars. You're stuck in a Holiday Inn for 2 weeks.
Ooh. Well, so first off, let me put it in perspective. So like the first night I was there, Castaway came on. So that kind of put things in perspective for me. I was like, you know, I felt like Tom Hanks in Castaway. So I was like, you know what? I just got to deal with this.
Well, hold on. Excuse me. Hold on. I don't want to cut you off. But I mean, Tom Hanks couldn't order Uber Eats You idiot. What's the matter with you? The guy's on an island.
That's my point.
He's trying to get a coconut open with a fucking ice skate. Guy's cutting his hand. He's talking to a volleyball. And you're sitting there watching Netflix, ordering Uber Eats, and you felt just like Tom Hanks. Fucking get a grip, Dean Thomas.
But that was my point, was that I didn't have it as bad as him. And that's my point. And then I felt so bad for Paul Felder.
You said you felt just like him, you said.
Well, I mean, kind of.
What the fuck are you talking?
Well, we had a similar situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His plane went down.
Well, he wasn't going to fight Allen either. Shit, I was trying to go to fight Allen.
Hey, listen.
And he didn't have Instagram and had to look at everybody having fun while I was in the room with a goddamn headache.
To make you feel better, Dean Thomas, that episode of Dana White, it's looking forward to a fight. You know, we have a blast. When we did it last time in Abu Dhabi with me and you, we had a blast, right? Uh-huh. Just to make you feel better, that episode, it didn't really do that. Oh, no, wait, hold on. No, it got like 1.3 million views.
That's a pretty good amount. That's a good amount of views.
It got some good views. I forgot
that's
that.
That's a lot of views.
I was thinking of maybe a different one. But listen to me.
Yeah.
Dean, now, what is going on with your stable of fighters now? Do you have, like, considered a stable? Or you got a few people? What do you got now? Because I know you did you did separate from American Top Team.
Yeah.
I always say it wrong. I always say it like it's the fucking phone company. But American Top Team, you left them. On horrendous terms. I'm only kidding. You left them on the
You know what's funny, Matt? Is it wasn't on bad terms until I did the show and they heard me laughing about it and then they got mad at me for that.
They heard
me joking about it.
Man, let me tell you. I know Dean Thomas, and you can't get me. You can't stay mad at Dean Thomas. Even if he does something fucked up. Like Jimmy, tomorrow if they canned me and it's they want to be a little more diverse, and it's Jim Norton and Dean Thomas on UFC Unfiltered. And he's like, sorry, Matt. I'm going to be like, I can't stay mad at you. First of all, I'm only fucking around. I want my job. But I couldn't get mad at Dean Thomas, even if sometimes, like, he leaves American Top Team that's been his home, that trained him as a warrior, and Dan Lambert was always like a second father to him. And he's been with him so long. And then when he wants to, finally, sometimes you got to move on.
Sure.
It's like about life's about growth. I understand. But it's great how he just shoots an email to him. All right, later.
Well, now, Dean, did you straighten it out with Dan? Did you guys talk?
We did for a little bit. And then, afterwards, man, it just got bad for some reason. Man, I just kept hearing all these rumors about how, they was talking about me. So, man, I just said, you know what? That's all good.
Listen, that's kind of normal, though. Are you not sitting there trying to seduce, get people out the door and shit like the Pied Piper, are you?
In fact, there was a time, because I heard that they were like, if you work with Dean, you can't come back here. So I was like, you know what? I'm not working with anybody from there because I don't want them to, be in conflict.
Yeah. Listen.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even want that beef. But then a couple of people just left then and then it came with me, but that's on them. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
it's like a war almost for people. It's like when you leave a company and if clients leave with you, now all of a sudden, are you starting your own school?
No, I train at the crib, man. I got my own spot and everybody live with me. Shorty Torres, Jillian Robertson, she pretty much live with me.
Yeah?
We just train all day.
That's fucking great. I seen your video the other day. I liked it. You guys were golfing.
Oh, yeah. You said, we went golfing.
You ate summertime, right? You did it to
film. Yeah, it was golfing and bowling. Man, it was great.
You guys look like a fun team.
We're like a family.
Oh, that's beautiful, Dean Thomas.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Listen, it's beautiful to distance.
Now I'm back on your side.
Yeah, good.
Listen, I'm fucking around. I'm happy you're doing well, man, and you're keeping busy during this thing. Yeah. Are you upset that you can't go for any you can't pursue your acting, your dream of being an actor?
No, I'm still working, man. I'm doing my own stuff. I'm doing a Zoom play in 2 weeks.
Hold the fucking horses. You're doing a Zoom play?
Yeah.
What is it about? Jimmy, do you want to hear about this or no?
I do, yeah. I was going to do a little something with Dean Thomas before the pandemic.
Wait, a little something. I want to get to the Zoom play in a second. What were you talking about? What were you going to do with Dean Thomas?
Oh, a couple of friends working on a project, a little acting thing.
Oh, you know what I don't like? Listen, I'm being kept in the dark here.
Well, no, I'll tell you. I don't know if Dean wants it out there before it's shot.
I don't know if it can be out there before it's shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not my project.
You know what, guys?
It's not your. Oh, okay. Fine.
Yeah, I don't feel like the third wheel. Fine. I don't want to even talk about it. But listen, I have something else to drop now.
Oh, no. What?
You like the way I said I have something to drop?
Yes.
Some kind of rapper. Listen, all I know is your buddy Tyron Woodley's got a certain single coming out. I don't know if it should be out there for the world.
Oh yeah,
I'm not gonna say nothing.
But I'm not gonna say it. Dean, do you know that somebody's maybe a part of that? Even if it's not singing, it might be a little something. But somebody's involved with this certain single that's gonna go. That's gonna blow up the charts. Blow up the charts. Listen, I'm excited. Listen, guys, we all got things going on.
What are you doing in the song?
We all stand busy.
What do I do?
In the song? Yeah, I want to know what you do.
I'm going to disappoint you right now, Jimmy, and let you know right now that I'm not singing. So don't get upset.
Oh, but, what are you doing? He's probably afraid your voice will overshadow. I understand.
Listen.
He knows.
The one thing I know about Tyron Woodley is that guy he's got an eye for things.
Mm-hmm.
And an ear for things.
He does.
Jimmy.
What?
Are you falling in and out of love with his music right now?
No. I've never fallen in love with it. No.
You've never fallen in love with it? What's up, Neil Magny? How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How you doing?
You know Jimmy Norton and, of course, Dean Thomas. Do you know that character?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely know these guys.
Hey, buddy, how did you find out about Robbie replacing Jeff? When they first told you that Jeff got sick, was there any type of a talk about who would replace him? Or did they say, look, we'll see what we can do?
At the time, there was no talk about a replacement. I just thought like, oh, man, he's sick. I lost my fight. I'm going to be out of a fight. And then within like a day or so, I get an email from Sean Shelby saying, like, hey, Robbie Lawler's ready and willing to take the fight if you're up for it. So I just, with no hesitation, I said, yes, absolutely, let's do it. And then that's how that fight pretty much came together.
Did you get excited that the name Robbie Lawler came up? I mean, listen, everybody's dangerous that fights in the cage. So you're getting ready for Jeff Neal, who's a beast. You're fighting another beast, but this beast is actually a legend. He has a bigger name. Did you get excited when it was, oh, shit, man, Robbie Lawler?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, the reaction when most people hear about the fight, Robbie Lawler, be like, oh, crap, yeah.
Right.
Robbie Lawler, I guess. For me, it was literally smiling ear to ear, like, oh, crap, I'm fighting Robbie Lawler. Hell yeah, let's do it. I know the kind of fight he's going to bring. I know the kind of fighter he's going to make me out to be. I mean, I started out in the fight game training at Robbie Lawler's gym. So to actually be fighting him 12 years later, let's know I'm doing the right things to head in the right direction.
And this is your third fight in five months since March and against Zhilong and Martin, there were decisions. So you fought quite a few rounds so far. How are you feeling? I mean, and why take one so soon? Was it just because things are so crazy?
I feel great overall, and this is a great opportunity for me to just keep moving forward and keep accomplishing my goals. I mean, I want to get back in that top five and make my run for the title. To be able to get these opportunities to fight guys like Robbie Lawler and keep climbing the ranks, that's the kind of thing I need to do. I'm not one of those guys to go out there and talk crap and do all this other stuff to propel my way to the top, but I'm definitely willing and able to outwork every single person in my division to get to where I want to go. And if that's what it has to, is that what it takes for me to get to the top of my division, fight for a title, then by any means necessary, I'll do it.
No, yeah, I was just saying too, because there are decisions. Like a lot of times, the guy will have a first round knockout and say, hey, I'm ready to fight again. But to have two decisions and then a scheduled fight, like you're not even, you know, is impressive. Is part of that because of the way things have been with COVID? Fighting the fights have become unpredictable and travel has become hard, so guys are getting more opportunities to fight more often?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot more opportunity present, and I have a good training system back at home with my team, so that works well. So even with the whole COVID situation, nothing really changed drastically as far as training for me goes. If anything, it's made it better because we've been forced to do smaller groups of people training together. So rather than having 30, 50 people on a mat or in the gym, we're down to 5-6 people max in the gym. So that gives the coaches a lot more opportunity to really kind of like hone in and see what you're working on and see how you're developing, give you a lot of feedback. So it's actually allowed me to get a lot more growth during this time of COVID. And because of all the things going on, people not being able to travel international, being an hour away from Vegas, I mean, that allows me to step up at any moment and take these fights.
You said you were training at Robbie Lawler's gym. That was his and Matt Hughes's gym. It was that was the, had the Hit Squad. That's what it was back in the day, right? You were 19.
The Hit Squad. I was part of the Hit Squad back in the day. I mean, I started my amateur career training at the Hit Squad. It was Mark Fiore, Matt Hughes, and Robbie Lawler that co-owned that gym. When I first came back from deployment in 2008, I went to school down in Southern Illinois, and that was the closest MMA gym to me. And I literally signed up for classes on a Tuesday and then drove right over to the gym and signed my membership to start training MMA there.
You were 19 at the time. It says you were 19, like sparring with Robbie Lawler, and now you're 33. That's correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's pretty cool because there's a picture that someone actually captured of Matt Hughes training at one point. And in the background, you kind of see like a little small glimpse of me in the background, just kind of sitting down, looking at him training, just looking up. So, wow, that is so cool. So to get to the point that I'm at now, over 10 years later, where I'm fighting guys like Robbie Lawler and I've trained alongside and fought on cards with guys like Matt Hughes, that's just encouraging for me. Listen, I did the right things leading up to it.
Were you there a long time training there? How long was that place there?
I spent about 3 years there. My entire college career I spent training at Hit Squad.
Oh, that's wild, man. That's
And that's crazy because I remember him in college. I actually saw him wrestling in college. I went to one of his matches in college. And Neil, and from what I understand, Ben Askren told me this, that when I fought on that card in Columbia, you was an amateur fighting on that card in Columbia, the Patriot Act, I think it was. Tyron Woodley. Yeah, Tyron Woodley, Ben Askren made their pro debuts, and you was an amateur, and I was the main event. I hate to date myself like that and put you and try to shame you, but yeah, I think that's what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, I remember down in Columbia, Missouri. Yeah, that was the crowd in my amateur debut, and that was when Tyron Woodley was going by nickname Tabasco, a hot sauce he was using back then. And it was just cool to see that, like, that progression. I mean, to be able to dream that 10 years ago, like I said, be able to fight these guys now. I mean, it's, like I said, let's, you know, do the right things. I mean, Tyron Woodley, even in college, was the assistant wrestling coach for me. So to see everything come together this far into my career is just an amazing thing.
Did I just find out there that Tyron Woodley's nickname was Hot Sauce? Is that what I just got from that? Is that what you said? Neil Magny, Tabasco? What the Tabasco. Fuck am I hearing?
Tabasco
Holy
sauce?
Shit, man. Thank God. Thank God he changed that.
Yeah, I didn't give him that name, but at first, like, that was the nickname. It was Tabasco. It was hot sauce. I was just like, what is going on here? But that's what he was calling himself back in the day.
Oh, hell no. I didn't know that.
Dean Thomas wouldn't hang out with him if that was still his nickname, yeah. I'll tell you right now.
You're absolutely right about that. So, Neil, I think that Jimmy was kind of downplaying your win a little bit, you know, against the, what's his name, the Chinese dude?
Jimmy Yang, yeah.
Yeah, I personally thought that was the best I've ever seen you look, and if not one of the better performances of anybody throughout the year. I mean, even though it was a decision, I thought you looked absolutely amazing. I thought you looked phenomenal.
Well, I wasn't downplaying. I was only talking about the number of rounds. I wasn't trying to downplay the win. I was saying that you fought so many rounds in a short period of time that a lot, you know, that's a lot of cage time. I was talking about the amount of rounds, not the.
My bad. Okay. I didn't mean to disrespect you like that, Jimmy. But I was just. I thought that was a phenomenal performance.
thank you. I mean, and it just shows. Like, even though it was a decision, during I spent many rounds in there. You look at the stats after that fight. I mean, I think I landed close to like 100 and something shots on him. And in return, over three rounds, he landed 16 shots on me. So even though it did go the course of 15 minutes and it was a decision win, I took literally no damage in that fight. It was literally a one-way fight where I was the one pushing the pace, doing majority of the striking. It took very little to no damage in that fight.
So, listen, man. Sorry Jimmy was shitting on you earlier. Sorry about that. Dean Thomas! Fuck Dean Thomas! You're a guest on the show. You could give Neil Magny a nice compliment without shitting on Jimmy Norton.
Well, I had to lead it in with something.
But I was actually complimenting the ability. I was actually saying it's more impressive that there's been like two decisions and now ready to fight again. Like that's a grueling schedule.
Me and Neil knew what you meant. Jimmy, Dean Thomas wanted to draw swords for some reason. I'm sorry we have to fight in front of you like this, Neil.
It's all good.
Oh, man.
I wanted to ask about being deployed. Where were you deployed?
So I just stayed in Kuwait and Iraq in 2007-2008. And I was literally fresh out of high school.
Oh, wow. And how long were you in Kuwait? I did shows over there. But it was probably a couple of years. I think it was the end of 2003. We landed in Kuwait, did a show, and then went to like Baghdad and Talil, I think. How long were you in Iraq?
It was literally the whole deployment lasted about a year or so from beginning to end. So that was pretty much the extent of that one.
And you had no desire to re-up when you were done.
Well, this played out pretty good for me, like where I was able to come back. I spent 7 years in the Army, and when I made my UFC debut, I was actually still in the service. And it was shortly after my UFC debut, I was like, all right, you know what? There's probably no way I can keep up with military service and a UFC career now. So that's when I decided to get out in 2013. But I was in the military when I was in the Ultimate Fighter. I was in the military when I made my UFC debut. And it just got to the point that I couldn't balance it all together. And that's why I decided not to re-up.
So were you like this disciplined guy? Like to train requires tremendous discipline. To be in the military requires tremendous discipline. Were you this disciplined guy before you joined, or did joining the military make you more disciplined and then kind of eventually help you with fighting?
I think it just brought it out of me more. I mean, I was pretty fortunate to have a pretty good coaches in high school that kind of started molding me for life early on. And that's kind of where a lot of things started to shift me in life was when I started playing sports in high school. And then once I got to the military, I just kind of helped propel that a bit more and help me find out more about myself and what I'm really capable of doing.
You liked the military life. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I mean, like even for me, like martial arts was something that it was an escape for me when I was deployed. Like I remember like doing your missions during the day and then coming back to base at night. I'll meet up with a couple of Marines, a couple of the other guys. Like, hey, let's go roll around. And, like, we didn't have mats at certain times. We just literally just throwing our uniforms, roll around in the sand, and then just kind of grappling and like ease our minds that way. And then like waking up like 2-3 in the morning to go watch the UFC events on AFN or whatever while we were deployed. So for me, that was just kind of like my escape from everything else. It was just like, all right, whatever, a rough day, and go roll around in the sand with a couple of guys and just kind of get my mind off of what happened for the day or whatever it may be.
Well, that's all great, Neil. Well, let's talk about some dirt. I know Usman was up there. Is he still there?
Yeah, he came out to Colorado did his last camp there and that kind of thing. But it's been pretty interesting, you know, like he's been there for a couple months, but he and I haven't been able to get one round in together yet. So, I mean, much respect to the guy. Appreciate him coming out and training there. But I would love to have gotten around with him just to see, like, what it was all about.
Yeah, it's got to be shitty for him, though. He's probably like, they want to, you know. It's almost like Ned Stark when Jaime Lannister. You watch Game of Thrones at all, Neil? No? I'm going to save this record. You know what?
But no, since I started, it'll be easy. Go ahead, Matt.
Ned Stark, he runs into Jaime Lannister when they got the fucking, what's the city again? Anyway, he goes, oh, it's good to have some fresh blood. You can jump in your tournaments. And he goes, I don't fight in tournaments. This is Ned Stark. Let me just get this.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't fight in tournaments. He goes, oh, why not? You know, he goes, I don't like my enemies to see what I could do. Boom! He just like dropped the mic, Ned Stark. Walks off.
Yeah, but for me, I just do it the opposite way. Like, if the roles were reversed and I was the champ and I was training at someone else's gym, I would look for the opportunity to train with this person. I would put it in my mind. I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to put a beating on you so bad that if it ever comes across the email that you have to fight me, I want you to like kind of second guess it and like be worried about it. Like, that's the kind of mindset I would have if the roles were reversed. I would be like, you know what? Yeah, sure. You're my division. We may fight with each other one day. And we may have that running with one another, but I'm going to make sure that I give you nightmares whenever that name comes across the email. Like, crap, I gotta fight this dude? No way. And that's just my approach to it. That's my mindset to it, had it been the other way around. But much respect to him, though. I'm not gonna take it personal. I'm not gonna say he needs to trip me to be part of the team or anything like that. Just wish him the best. And if the time comes that we need to fight one another, we'll cross that bridge when it's time.
So you're saying he's a coward and has no confidence in himself.
No, man. I'm saying that.
Is that what you're saying?
Man, I mean, the guy has something to protect. I mean, he's he's the guy right now. He's the guy with the belt. He's the guy with the target on his back. So whatever he needs to do to make sure he keeps that strap, I mean, more power to him. Do what you got to do. But like I said, when it's time to cross that bridge, I'll be ready for it.
Well, very classy not to let Dean Thomas pull you into
try, that try to rope you into a war of words.
I'm just good old Dean Thomas. He's just trying to get a fight on here. Just picking at any angle.
Dean wants some clickbait. He wants something
I'm trying to get some drama.
You know? Always stirring up shit. Nicest guy in the game. You're making like Jimmy's attacking him. You're fucking making like the champ's afraid of him. Dean Thomas. Holy shit.
I'm just trying to get the ratings up. I'm trying to get my ratings up, Matt.
Neil, good luck. Co-main event on Saturday against Robbie Lawler. That's great. A great fight. And Jeff Neal would have been a great fight. And this is also amazing for you too, to be fighting such a legendary guy in the sport. And I'm looking forward to this very much. So good luck. And if you win, I promise I will address it properly. I will not downgrade the win as Dean accused me of doing.
No. All right. Hey, man, if it goes the distance, we're not going to look at you any differently. You know what I mean? You know. By the way, Dean's a guest host today. Don't look at the show.
Yeah, don't hold it against us. We're fans.
Great, Neil Magny.
Thanks, Neil.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you guys.
You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Jimmy, I know you got to go. I guess, I don't know, are we doing the picks first or you just got to
write? I can write in the
what?
Picks.
Yeah, that's what
I'll
do.
Give you. Let me see. Anthony Smith against Rakic. Smith had a rough fight last one. That Glover fight was very rough.
While you're thinking of that, did you ever hear the song Circles by Post Malone? Jimmy. Dean Thomas, you ever hear it?
No, I want you to sing it, though.
Get the fuck out of here.
Sing it.
You didn't
hear
it? No. You think it's the best thing, Jimmy?
Rakic.
Jimmy.
I'm going to take Rakic. I'm trying to think of how, because there's only a three-round fight.
It's the best song since he came out with Sunflower. It's the best. Oh, my God.
Is it better than Sunflower?
Rakic decision.
Jimmy. Ooh. Okay. Decision. Rakic
decision. Yeah, three rounds.
You don't think that Anthony Smith is going to utilize his jiu-jitsu and try to?
I think he may try to do that. Yeah,
We're getting Anthony Smith on a little bit.
Anthony Smith is very tough.
And Dean Thomas is going to listen. Dean's on a tear today. He's not obviously. Dean's not here to make friends. I mean, we got that. Dean kind of established himself, and he just knows he's all right. If something goes sour here, he could deal with some controversy. So you know, I feel in my heart, that when we interview Anthony Lionheart Smith, he will bring up that you're choosing Alexander to best him.
But it's a decision, and it's a tribute because Alexander has looked so great, and Smith is coming off a very, very rough fight. Anthony is just such a tough guy. I don't see him being finished. I mean, I just don't see. I mean, John Jones couldn't finish him. I just don't see him being stopped in this fight. And as far as Magny, Robbie, Neil Magny, I think is, I don't know how, it's been a year since Robbie fought. He's always dangerous, but I'm also going to take Magny by decision. Third round, I would say Magny, I'm going to take both those guys by decision.
It was just the sex though. I still hear the echoes.
All right, guys.
Listen to me, Jimmy.
Yeah. Good talking.
I'd leave on that note,
Jimmy. Please tell me this. Tell me you're gonna at least try to listen to Circles by Post Malone. Could you just try to listen to it
this afternoon?
Can you please? And hey, listen, I'm not even into videos anymore. MTV. I don't even know if that thing's on, but their video is very Games of Thrones like. You got like Post Malone and like it's like a battlefield. Bodies everywhere, and he's like a knight in armor, and fucking he just survived the battle, and then he starts singing about Circles. It's like Thomas can't.
Man, what's wrong with you, man?
What's up? All right, let's let Jimmy go.
Yes,
Jimmy,
guys, I love Anthony Smith. So tell him I said hello. And
I'm sure Dean Thomas will.
Yeah,
well, I'll bring him right now.
I've had to deal with that, but I had to tell Derek Lewis I picked against him. It's okay,
Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy, I love you so much. I know you're leaving now. And I just want to say that I don't want you to look at your career and look at you as being part of the legends of radio, Opie and Anthony. For years, they go down in history. And I don't want you to look at your life now and you're looking at me and you're looking at Dean Thomas and thinking that you went backwards. This is a good show. People listen to the show.
This is a good show.
They like this show.
This is a very good show.
But we sign on and we got a fucking, Dean's got the fucking camera upside down.
It's okay.
And I'm fucking burping in the mic. Listen, I love you, Jimmy. Anything you want to plug?
No, just the chipperson.com merchandise page. Matt, if you want to go grab a mug or a cup, feel free.
Wait, what is the mug like with Chips? Do you have one right now? Do you have it to show me?
No, I ordered some. It's brand new. I have a bunch of different mugs. Yeah. But go choose one. I'll be happy to send it to you.
Jimmy, you know, you always say that I should be doing more branding of my brand.
Yeah, I do.
You should.
Right? You do. Jimmy says that all. I'm going to be honest. He never said it. But I guarantee you think that I should do that. No, Jimmy?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll throw around some ideas. I'll FaceTime you later. What are you free? What time do you think?
Shoot me a text later. Yeah, I got the interview, but I'm going to go now and do that. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey, enjoy, Jimmy. Don't forget to ask Kelly if she likes black dudes.
She won't be on today.
Oh, all right. Well, when you see her.
All right, I'll make sure to ask. That's the first thing I'll ask her.
Keep it in your pants, Thomas. Listen, bye, guys. I'll see you later, Jimmy.
Yes, Dean, thanks a lot. Bye.
Love you, buddy. He didn't say it back, but it's okay. I forgive him.
And you said it like five times and he ain't say it back.
He didn't say it once. Rick, how do you pronounce the last name?
I think it's Rakich.
Rakich. Oh, is he on, Anthony?
What's up?
Oh, he is on. Oh, here you are, buddy.
What, were you talking shit?
No, not yet. We're not. We're Matt Sarah, Dean Thomas. I hate doing the third person thing, but we're not Jimmy Norton. He's the only one that talks shit. I'm only kidding. What? I did not even in with the intro. We're doing an intro. I'm saying hello to Anthony Lionheart Smith, and already I throw my little Jimmy Bird under the bus.
Already? That's
what
bad.
The fuck?
He's not even here to defend himself, and you throwing him under the bus.
That's how I like to do it, like an asshole. Listen, Lionheart, what's up, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
And I like how, like, on our Zoom names. Well, first of all, I still have my wife's name on there, so it says Ann. But Dean has Dean Thomas there, Dean Thomas, and yours has Lion Hizzle.
Just me.
I fucking now it's gonna be hard not to call you Lion Hizzle.
Lion
Hizzle.
Yeah, Lion Hizzle. We got the most perfect white teeth I've ever seen in my life. But how the hell do you, man, you don't drink no coffee, do you?
Oh, you're a fucking
I drink coffee
Thomas.
Every day. These are bought and paid for.
Yeah.
All right, but god damn, well worth it.
What I thought Lionheart was Dean Thomas is I don't know what is in his coffee this morning, but he's coming out hot. We were talking to Neil Magny earlier, and he's like, I'm not going to downplay your last win, Neil, like Jimmy did earlier. I'm not even joking around. He's coming out hot. So I thought when he mentioned your teeth, he wanted to bring up how you remember your last fight when you had a problem with your teeth. So I could tell that you can't tell, but I'm assuming they're not real teeth. Mr. Captain Insensitive over there, the first thing he fucking says is that, can we start the interview over? Hold on.
I didn't have any problem with my teeth. Glover had a problem with my teeth and wanted to remove them. That's who had the problem.
Well, they look better now.
Yeah, they look good. I like them.
Yeah.
I'm looking good on ESPN. I can smile and not be all weird about it. So I'm good.
Listen, I always like to talk about, I don't like to live in the past, just like you don't. And this fight this weekend, I can't wait for, because I'm high on your opponent too. I think this is an amazing fight, and it's a gutsy fight to take off a loss, don't you think, Anthony?
No. I mean, you know how it is, man. Like, I don't get to call the shots anymore. When you win a fight, you get to kind of call your shot and say, this is what I want, and if it works out, a lot of times they'll give it to you. But you know, I'm kind of at the mercy of the company right now. I took a loss, and he's coming off a loss as well to one of our, you know, we have a mutual opponent. So I was surprised to hear his name, but I like the matchup a lot. I like what I see when I see him fight. It's a good fight for me coming off of a loss, because I think it favors what I do best, you know, and there's no surprises with him. Like, he's super dangerous. Don't get me wrong there, but you kind of know what you're getting yourself into, you know. Like, you get your Dominic Reyeses and Blachowicz and guys like that. You know, there's a lot of unknowns, and there's a lot of thinking. It's a chess game there, and I think this is a different type of chess game. We both know what we're getting ourselves into. It's just who's going to deal with it better.
It's the, you know, it's the UFC, so there's obviously no easy fights, you know. Speaking of not an easy fight, your last fight with Glover, just to touch base on it, you the first round, now listen, would have, could have, if it would have ended in that first or second round, it would have been, everybody would have been saying, because of the onslaught you've been putting on in that first round especially, it's like they'd say, this Anthony's never looked better. That's what they would say. And then, again, I don't want to feel like Ped Ventura with laces out. I'm not trying to get like that. But I don't know, like, you didn't seem as patient as usual. Why do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of different factors that go into that. It was the first couple events during the Corona days. It was different. It was just different. There was no crowd. There's nothing to feed off of. You know, like,
it's true. It wasn't a crowd. Not a crowd, wasn't it?
Yeah, you gotta try to overcompensate for the energy that's missing in the building. So I think I just came out too hot. I had a lot of shit going on. I'm not going to make excuses, but you know, they say when you chase a finish, you're never going to win a decision. Listen, if that was a 3-round fight, I win the fight. You know, like, even as bad as the third round went, I still win the fight. So, you know, I just didn't pace myself. I was in a hurry. I was rushing things. And then as you're successful, as the fight goes on, you just keep going, you know, like, it was so easy. I just did whatever I wanted to do. And like, anytime I thought like, oh, I'm going to try this, I'd do it and it would work.
Yeah.
So I just like, you get rolling downhill, and I just never pull off of the gas. And then once he clipped me in the third round with that big uppercut, it was kind of just downhill from there.
And it's amazing. Even if you're in phenomenal shape and a shot in the right place could hit your energy bar like you never got on that VersaClimber. Isn't it weird?
It is.
Like, do you agree?
Yeah, you know, I felt really good going into the third. Like, and once he hit me with the uppercut, it just messed with my vision. And then I was trying to back him off, and I threw some lazy rear teep kick, and he came over the top with a big left hand. And once he dropped me, it was kind of fucking over after that. It just sapped everything I had. And you know, Glover's he's a veteran, man. I don't want to take anything away from him. Once he jumped on me, he never let me off the hook.
Well, that's what veterans do. He's definitely a veteran, and with a lot of experience to be able to, you know, see that type of opportunity and take advantage of. That's something that I'm not sure that your next opponent has, and I think that may give you some advantages going into this next fight, because I don't think he has that type of experience that Glover has.
No, you know, I got more knockouts than Rakic has fights. And I think that that's one of my biggest advantages, but I also think that I'm just smarter than he is. The problem is I don't necessarily always use it. And that's why this kind of a fight is exciting for me, because I don't have a choice. I have to be smart, because he's all pissed off because I called him a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I don't think that he's dangerous. You know, I think sometimes people look too deep into the shit that I say. I don't think anyone in the world is going to mistake that guy for a grappler. He's not a jiu-jitsu guy. So he wants to strike. He wants to be long and rangy, and he wants to use those long weapons. And, you know, that doesn't mean it's easy to deal with. It's just simple, if that makes any sense.
So, Anthony, because you're such a cerebral fighter, wouldn't you say that the not having a crowd should be advantageous to you, because you're not being distracted by the noise or anything like that?
Yeah. I think now that I've done it once, and I'm, you know, it's a more comfortable situation for me. You know, like, I was able to get, there's a lot of things I was able to get back into my normal training regimen and going back and forth to Denver, which I wasn't able to do before. No one's broke into my house lately. So that's good. I'm just in a better place than I was mentally going into that fight. You know, like the fight, I mean, we changed locations like three times, the date changed three times. So I was getting up and then having to back off and then getting up and having to back off. So I'm just in a better place than I was, to be able to mentally handle situations like I think if I was fighting Glover on Saturday, I think that fight looks totally different and we move on and start working our way towards the title. But that's how the sport is. You know, it's just, if you're not perfect, you know, it kind of fucks up your whole plan.
Let me ask you about that freak that broke in your house and you beat the shit out of him. Now, did it ever, in the moment, you're in that a fight for your life with this guy, you feel, or the guy's taking, you said he took all your strikes, right? He was taking, what was he on, PCP or something?
At one point in time, I had his head pinned to the floor, lifting my knees as high as I could and driving him right into his skull. And he never even blinked.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Was he on something?
Everything.
Being a black belt, and I'm not, listen, somebody breaks in my house, you can't assume that, how you're going to act. But I'm just saying, like, did you ever think about strangling the fucking guy?
Yeah. You know, that's actually something I hear. I hear that a lot. And
I wish I would have.
Trying not to be that guy. No, I get it. I wish I would have now, but the whole time I was trying to control his hands because he kept trying to get his hands in his pockets. So I didn't know what he had. Jesus. So,
no, I mean,
I've already crushed him for like 5 minutes and he hasn't even reacted. And his face is swelling and he's bleeding all over the place. And, you know, so like he's already not reacting like a normal human. How long does it take to choke a normal person unconscious? 2 seconds, maybe. If it's triple that long, he's already showed me he's not a normal person. So if it takes triple that long, it takes me 6 or 7 seconds to choke him unconscious. I mean, what can he get out of his pockets in 6 seconds? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Some elbows to the face might be appropriate. I'm with you. All right. No, I wondered about that.
And I thought it was a little messed up too, because I felt like I felt like you got treated unfairly in that situation. You know, a lot of guys on the internet kind of came down on you, like John Jones and them guys kind of came down on you for that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get too deep into a lot of the stuff. Like, I said that it was one of the toughest fights that I've ever been in. I didn't say I almost lost it, you know, and that's kind of that's kind of where they were talking.
They made it sound like the dude, like it was going back and forth, and the dude had you on the ropes and you passed the guard. No. And
I promise you, even today, months later, he still remembers who I am every day. I mean, it's not like I almost lost the fight. It's just I couldn't put him out. That's what the problem was. I just couldn't get him. I just put him out.
You know, you recently spoke about John Jones' move to heavyweight, and you were talking about how you think Francis would be a harder matchup than Stipe.
No, I said I think Francis would be an easier matchup than Stipe.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's true. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, is that because of the grappling as well?
I think because of the – I don't think Francis is an easy fight for anybody, but
yeah.
I think if you put those two together, I think Stipe's got he's got more skills than Francis does. I think Francis is more dangerous, but John is such he's such an expert at not absorbing crazy damage. Francis isn't a big kicker. He doesn't go to the body a lot. He's a headhunter, and I think that John is – his frame is the same size as Francis's. I mean, John's longer. He's just as far as his frame goes, muscular, obviously Francis is bigger. But I think John just avoids. And when Francis starts crashing, I think John just clinches him. And you know, Francis is up to this point, we don't know if his wrestling has gotten any better since he fought Stipe. So I think you get into the cage work and the fence, you know, like he's working him on the fence and starts tripping him. And I think once John gets on top of Francis, I don't think he gets back up.
You know, it's funny with Francis, though, because everybody's like, well, you know what? The game plan, you got to do what Stipe did. So you look at him like, all right, now he's fighting Curtis Blaydes, and Curtis Blaydes could – he knows all he has, and he's a great wrestler, and he's a decent strike, good striking, and explosive. All he's got to do is get past that first round, get past the – you know, and he's getting taken out. Yeah. All right, now we got Cain Velasquez. Well, he's very good at mixing it up, and still, he's so fucking powerful. He just touches you, mm-hmm. and it's been over. So Stipe's the only one to be able to utilize that game plan.
I know, it's crazy.
So could he do it again? It's very that
yeah, I don't know. I don't know,
but it happened so early in his career too. So we also got to take that into effect that when Stipe did it to him the first time, that was kind of early in his growth, though. I mean, he's gotten better since.
Well, and I don't think that I think the route to victory for John when it comes to Francis is just simpler than it is for Stipe. And who knows? You know, like Francis is just a freak, man. He learns so fast. And it's like the more time it takes, you'd almost want to get to him as fast as you could, because if you wait 3 months, you're going to get a totally different guy. I just the way I see it, I've been in there with John. I know how strong he is. I've trained with a lot of heavyweights. I've trained with Stipe. So I got a good read on like where their strength is as well. And I'm sure Francis is a freak when it comes to strength. But John is strong enough and good enough in the clinch that I think he could handle Francis. Now getting there, it's a totally different story.
Yeah, Anthony, I got to agree with you, to be honest with you. I think that Stipe would be a harder matchup for John just because Stipe looked like a big middleweight in his last fight. I mean, he moves better. He's got more skills, like you said. And I do think he would be a harder fight than Francis for John.
Man, I don't know if it was just the embedded episode I seen or whatever, but he looked in like the best shape I've ever seen. He looked in phenomenal shape, Stipe, in the last fight.
Yeah.
Leaner.
Yeah, he did. He looked a big middleweight.
Yeah, I like the way Dean explains that. He does. He looks like a big middleweight because just the way he moves. I don't know. It's weird, man. It's like Stipe's kind of turned this corner and he's even at this point, at this point in his career, it's hard to do that, you know, where you're changing your whole body makeup, you're changing kind of the way that you move. And, you know, he's got the fancy new hairdo. It's kind of cool to watch. He's just got this whole new thing going on.
He looks like a professional now.
Right.
And how's the whole quarantine life been treating you? I mean, how's this whole thing, the whole COVID thing, the gym, not being able to, you know, the whole regular life turned upside down. Has it been that weird for you? You've been a lot of family time. What you been doing?
Yeah, just hanging out with my family. You know, the fortunately our gym is still open in Denver and still open in Omaha as well. So things are actually going really, really good. We're just all being as safe as we can, you know, and when I'm home, we keep it to our tight little circle. And that's, I'm kind of a homebody anyways, you know, like I don't go out and do a lot of hang out with the neighbors and the kids play with the neighbor kids. So we just keep our own little bubble in the neighborhood and we don't really do anything outside of that. So that's fairly normal for us anyways. So,
man, I like that you have your gym open over there. Mm-hmm. Over here in New York, they just open gyms like a little bit, but then you got to wear masks still. I mean, I'm not fucking rolling with a mask on. Goddamn politicians. Telling you right now, put me in a cage with one of them. Hey, listen, Anthony, I can't wait for your fight this weekend. It's going to be sick. You know, I mean, sick me at five, main event. And I always love watching your fight, buddy. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm excited. I think this is, I think it's going to be good for the fans. It's definitely going to be good for my career, especially with the division kind of opening up and kind of being a free for all for like us top six guys. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm in a good place.
Awesome, brother. Well, we're going to be watching, pal. Yeah. All right. And afterwards, come back on. We'll bullshit some more.
Best of luck, man.
Thanks a lot, Dean. You take care.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let's do our picks. Come on, okay, man. Let's get into this. Magomed Ankalaev versus who's he fighting?
Ion Cutelaba.
Yeah. It's not pronounced Ion.
Jan.
Jan Cutelaba or Laba. Laba. Let's call the whole thing off. Thomas Laba.
What's wrong with you, man? What is wrong
Laba.
With you?
Laba. Say Laba.
Lama.
Laba.
Lama.
Not Lama. Laba.
Oh, Laba. Okay, do it again. I got it.
So it's Magomed Ankalaev, and he's fighting Jan Cutelaba.
Laba.
Let's call the whole thing off. Laba.
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 All right, listen, enough. Do you hear that? It's the sound of radios all over the world getting turned off these Thomas. We lost many fans
today.
This
is why we can't keep a job.
They're turning off. They're putting on fucking Bisping's podcast with Gomez. And right now to listen to Brendan Schaub. We lost everybody. We lost them all because you're a stupid nursery. All right, let's attack this shit.
All right.
Listen, do you remember their last fight?
Yeah, it was good.
When Magomed was they were blasting each other, and Jan starts making like, and he said, I believe him. He starts making like he's knocked out, like he's making like he's getting hurt, and then he come back with a firing with a fury,
yeah,
like fire off like three shots, and then after an exchange, he'd make like he's wobbly, and then Magomed would come in and he would try to fire off again.
Yeah,
so he played it so well that. He played that possum so well that the referee believed it and stopped the fucking fight. He thought he was really on wobbly legs. And meanwhile, the second the referee touched him, he goes, no, it's part of the game plan.
It's part of the stick.
You remember that?
I do remember that. That was an awesome fight, man. I'm looking forward to it this time. That Jan Cutelaba is an animal.
Oh, no. And the best is Cutelaba, every time before his fight, He storms across the cage.
Yeah.
And he gets right up in their face and does like a cutthroat fucking thing.
But do you remember what happened last time?
Magomed grabbed him.
Yeah, they grabbed him and they had to separate him.
Oh, dude. I can't wait for this fight.
I know,
Holy
man.
Holy shit, man. Magomed's a beast.
I can't
He's
wait.
He's a fucking beast.
Ah, man. I don't even know who to pick. Ankalaev is -330.
Yeah.
Wow. He's a heavy favorite. So.
Well, that's what I'm going with.
Well, it's easy
I'm
to go
going with Magomed. I'm saying Magomed second round knockout.
I'm going with Cutelaba.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Good for you.
Yeah.
Listen, Dean Thomas. It's weird. I just now had like a flashback. I didn't really do it, but did I just sing karaoke to you?
Yeah, you
before?
Did.
Or was that just?
No, you
in my
you
head
did.
That I
no,
did.
No, you sung karaoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You did. Oh, I apologize.
You did Circles by right, Post Malone.
Let's keep that between us. All right, Ricardo Lamas. I like Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's a former title challenger, you know, and, you know, he's been around. He's a beast. And he's fighting Bill Algeo. And we don't know too much.
We saw him on Looking for a Fight.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So we saw a little bit, but this is his first UFC fight.
No, he fought on a contender series and he lost.
All right. Well, that's a tall order for this kid.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little too tall for him.
Yeah. What is that, a height choke, Dean Thomas? Dean Thomas, I know you're coming out with guns blazing. Is that a fucking height choke?
No, it wasn't a height joke.
I'm sorry, Dean Thomas. I got my sword out because I don't
you
know.
You have to sword out.
You've been very spicy today, my friend.
But
you've
been
a spicy, spicy meatball. Now, me and you get along very well.
Yeah.
But Jimmy, I loved that before. That was crazy. You weren't even saying it jokingly. You go,
I'm not going to downplay your last fight the way Jimmy did. And you kept going. It's not, and Jimmy's looking at the camera like, he already blinks a lot. You got him fucking twitching. How dare you? He can't protect himself. Our little Jimmy Bird can't protect himself like me and you.
I didn't mean it that way. Neil Magny's
nice, but he's looking to see if Neil's like smiling. He's a little nervous.
I didn't mean it that way.
Be careful.
I didn't mean it that way. Tell him I'm sorry. Jimmy. Tell him I apologize.
I feel like going into the city and hugging my little bird. Yeah, look, he right now is probably undercovers right now, upset, feeling that Neil Magny's mad at him.
Will you tell him I apologize?
Well, that ship has sailed. I'm taking Ricardo Lamas by second round stoppage because he's coming around. He's mad. Ricardo Lamas is mad. He wants to come back. He knows he's coming off a loss to Calvin Gaeta. He didn't like it. And now he goes, you know what? I'm gonna make Bill Algiero, Gio, not like it. That's what he's saying. I can't listen. There's no proof that he's saying any of this.
There's no proof.
I'm just saying, in my head, I like to get amped up, and I want to see a fired up Ricardo Lamas because I like his fucking style. And even when he had that kind of tail in the back, he didn't lose me with that fucking
tail. That little rat tail?
That rat tail, it works.
Yeah.
Ricardo Lamas, second round, TKO.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to say he's going to second round TKO as well. I think it's just too much for that kid, Bill Algiero. His first time in the UFC fighting a veteran like that, it's way too much for him. So I can't see him doing that well.
Yeah, but then sometimes they thought it was special, but it was just the sex, though. Sex, though. I could hear the echoes. All right, I'm back, Jim. I'm Jimmy. Oh, no, it's Dean. Hi, Dean.
Hey.
I'm back.
What's up?
Oh, buddy, I miss you, so I got to make up for lost time. Yeah. You know, this is like us on the show when we're doing the Dana White looking for a fight that's on YouTube. And how we're always singing and having a good time. The world follows our bromance.
They do. Just, right. I'm a little jealous now because Michael Bisping took my last job, but that's okay.
Well, let me tell you something. He killed at it. He did great. So listen, Kim
okay.
is fighting
Alexa Grasso.
I am an Alexa Grasso fan.
Me too.
I am an Alexa Grasso fan. I like her style. There's some fights that she lost that I think could have went her way. I like her jiu-jitsu. I like her striking. I like her attitude. Okay. I have nothing against Kim. I like Kim also. But I'm going to go with Grasso by decision.
Me too. How do we have the same pick on his last two? I got to go against you on the next one. But I'll tell you this, Grasso's got some sharp striking skills. I think she has some of the better striking skills in all the women's divisions. So I'm definitely picking her to piece Kim apart.
Do you know that if Jimmy runs into Neil Magny, he's going to run away. All right, we got Robbie Lawler, former champ, legend, fighting Neil Magny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, this is what – it's hard to pick against Robbie Lawler because he's such a stud. Former champ, but dare I say that I like to be different. I like to take chances. I rode a bull. I went dog sledding. I did stand-up comedy with you that time on Dana White looking for a fight. I climbed the wall. I went pearl diving with you. Oh, no, you weren't on the list. But my point is I like to take risks. So when I look at Neil Magny, who was getting ready for Jeff Neal, who's a fucking beast, who's a very dangerous guy. So you know Neil Magny's not coming in, maybe I'll have some Cheetos and not hit the road work today, Neil Magny. No! I don't even know if that Neil Magny exists. This guy doesn't
exist. No, he doesn't exist.
No. That's like me. That's like, you know, when I'm lazy. But I feel that Neil Magny's going to get a decision here. I really do. All right? Why are you snickering at that? How dare you?
No, I'm not snickering at that.
Are you laughing at
so
me?
I want to say,
I'm here to fucking amuse you.
I promise you. I promised you that
What's
I would
so
pick
funny against, about me?
No, it ain't nothing funny about that.
What's so funny about me?
Ain't nothing funny about you. Trust me. You nothing. Know? There ain't nothing funny about you.
Am I here to amuse you?
Yeah, no, you don't. Trust me.
All right. Listen, you never saw Goodfellas, did you?
I did.
We'll do your homework. Okay. With the fucking thing. All right, listen to me. Who are you taking? Robbie Lawler or Neil Magny? This is a fucking hour podcast stops.
I know, man, but I'm taking Neil Magny, but I'm going to say he stops. I'm going to say he stops, Robbie.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did you just say what I thought you said?
I'm saying he stops, Robbie.
Well, listen to me, man.
I dare you to do something. It's like once you ever like take a beer, you're drinking a lot of beers, you take a piss, you open up the seal, you got to keep going and take a piss. Yeah. Once I start singing, it's like diarrhea of the mouth.
It sure is.
You son of a bitch. All right. Listen, let's get into the main. I miss you, buddy. Let's get into the main event.
Okay.
Anthony Lionheart Smith,
mm-hmm.
who Jimmy doesn't believe in, and you brought up that he has fake teeth. Anthony Smith versus Alexander Rychik. This is a fucking good fight, man.
It is a good fight.
You know? Talk to me, Dean Thomas. I'll let you pick first.
So prior to talking to Anthony Smith, I actually thought that Rychik would win. But now after hearing Anthony Smith talk, I'm going with Anthony Smith.
Well, they don't call you Dean the flip-flopper Thomas for nothing.
It's true.
Do you realize when the single comes out of the fucking Tyrone Woodley's next song, I'll still answer your call, but I might just go Hollywood. They might be like, get that guy in a recording booth. He's got that voice. Is not exactly the voice of an angel, but it's definitely got something to it. This guy, he's making this song. Sorry, champ, if you're right next to Dean Thomas. I can't.
But listen. He's going to be walking in here any minute now.
All I know is Tyrone Woodley has an eye and an ear for talent. That's all I'm going to say. He's not a one-trick pony like Anthony Smith calls fucking Rychik.
Okay. So what's wrong with you, man?
What's wrong with me is I'm fucking friends with you. Listen, this is a fucking – I don't know, man, but after talking to
Alexander.
We talked to him the other day. You weren't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
And knowing your nickname, you would fucking flip right back to him if you would talk to him next. So listen, he's very confident, and he's a fucking badass striker.
He is.
Could Anthony utilize his jiu-jitsu? Could he? Or does he need to? He's coming off a tough fight.
I think he needs to.
You know? And when you think about it, Rychik is coming off a fight that many people think, including himself, that he won versus Volkan.
Yeah, I thought he won that fight too.
So, I mean, he has that championship mindset right now. Like, look, man, I'm not getting beaten. Nobody beat me. He didn't beat me, you know? So I'm going to say Rychik by decision. And that hurts me because I'm friends with Anthony.
Yeah, that should hurt you. That should hurt you terribly. We just got off the phone with the man, and now you're going to pick against him.
I know. Cool. I know. But you know what, man? You know, I dare you to do something.
No.
Isn't it fun?
No, listen.
Isn't it fun?
I know
how. Isn't it fun to sing?
No, it's not fun. Look, I used to be in a room with Rychik. You know, he come down to top team and train, so I know how good he is. I thought he would give John Jones.
All I know is you and fucking Jimmy Norton are a couple of name droppers.
I'm introducing the Osbournes.
I know, right? Oh, let me go. Guys, I can only give you a half an hour.
Let me
shit on Anthony Smith, and then let me tell everybody, you know, go hang out with the Osbournes.
Yeah.
Osbournes, I don't know. Anyway, what else are you up to, buddy? Anything else? Because this show is going to be over in 2 seconds.
Man, I'm in champ camp, man. I'm waiting for the champ, former champ right now coming in. But he's a champ to us.
Well, I feel that me and Tyron, we bonded. We
yeah,
bonded
and I love what you did for him, man. Out. It was what you did for him was solid.
And, yeah?
Yeah, it was solid
sometimes
work.
Sometimes you got to get your head straight.
Yeah, man.
I'm playing into the whole video now. People are going to say what we talk about. Sometimes, you know, girl, get you messed up. You got to get your head straight.
Yeah.
You need a message from a friend or something like that. But that's all I'm going to say. Dean Thomas, when and what do you want to – what do you want to plug, Dean Thomas?
Well, you know what? Y'all can listen to my podcast with TJ DeSantis on the Extra Rounds.
Is that still going on?
Yeah, that's still just going kidding. On. Fight Pass.
I thought you stopped doing that.
No.
Did you stop doing it for a while?
No.
You always been doing it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. I listen every week.
You but don't listen to our podcast.
But I want to listen. What's it called again?
The Extra Rounds.
The Extra Rounds with Dean Thomas.
Yeah, no, it's TJ DeSantis, and then he just kind of bring me on. But it's the Fight Pass. It's on Facebook's Facebook page.
Can I add that Ray Longo said he had a good time doing. Was that what he did with you?
Yeah, that's what he did with me. Me and Ray did that.
I didn't know it was on Fight Pass.
Well, they had us on Fight Pass the one time, and we messed up, so then they didn't let us back on. But then they were on their Facebook page, and we do the pre-show and the post-show for the events.
Can I tell you something about Ray Longo really quick before we go?
Yeah, what?
You saw Marab's last fight, right?
Yeah,
for Marab, it was great. So we had like a suite where it's his room. Then there's the little living room, uh-huh. And then you know with the kitchen right there. And then there's my room.
Yeah.
So listen, I know Longo what 30 something years. I don't know, fucking long time. He goes out to do something. We can't really go much, but I go far. But he went to get coffee, whatever it is, or went with Marab somewhere, and I was quarantined, right?
Right.
So I had to stay in my room for like a fucking, you know how that is when you first get there, because I got there later than him. So listen, Dean Thomas, my charger died. I didn't have a charger. His door is open, right? And I see that the charge is right there. It's 5 feet away, you know? So I go in, I take the charge, I plug it in the middle where we're both at, and I'm doing my iPad so I can watch, you know, fights and stuff. Don't look away like you're not paying
attention. No. I'm just the champ.
No, listen.
I'm listening. I'm with you.
So fucking, he comes back. I go, oh, I had to borrow your water. He goes, oh, you went in my room. I go, oh, whoa. I go, hey, I went in your room. I go, it's 5 feet. I sort of. So he goes, he took his charge or whatever. So then he's going out later on, and he's locking his door. I go, you're locking your fucking door? I go, now you ruined your privileges. What am I going to do, Longo? Go sniff you. He goes, you were in my room? I go, what am I going to sniff your fucking underwear, Longo? What do you think? I'm going to whack off on your bed, you sick fuck. What do you think I'm doing? Looking for loose change? I went in 5 feet. I got the goddamn charger. I know you fucking have my life. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, I just had to let the world know. The guy locked his door when he left.
Yeah,
he locked. I went in his room to get. I walked 5 feet to get his charger.
And he locked the door on you.
He locked the door when he was leaving, like he was in there with a convict.
Let me tell you something. I would never lock the door on you. I wouldn't have done that. Because I got trust.
I locked the door on you. I locked the door on you that one time at Dana's guest house. you got me breakfast too, but I was busy. I know how to have a good time, even by myself. Listen, this week, I will again. UFC Fight Night, Apex Center. The prelims, Dean Thomas, is at 6 p.m. on ESPN. And the main card is at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Plus.
Wonderful.
I can't wait. All right. Hey, listen, Dean. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. I hope to see you soon. All right. If the audience didn't already have enough of us, they definitely tuned out by now. Let's get out of here. All right. Thank you, Unfiltered Army. I love you all. Dean Thomas, strong like. I will talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
I'll talk to you soon, buddy. All right. I miss you. Thanks for jumping on, Dean Thomas.
No doubt. Later.
Later, buddy. Goodbye, all.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.